Our next speaker is Daniel Worrell, who's from the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. He will discuss his findings on the asymptomatic rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea on MSM.
So good morning, and thank you for having me. Today I'm going to speak with you about asymptomatic gonorrhea and chlamydia in men who have sex with men undergoing anal dysplasia screening. I'm also going to speak about the change in testing modality that led to this discovery. So just a few disclosures as I get started. I have no financial relationships, but I do work as a sub-investigator on some AMC trials for HPV and Merck with HPV vaccine. So I'm going to briefly go over some background on gonorrhea and chlamydia, and we've heard some of this week. So we know these infections are two of the most common in the U.S., that men who have sex with men are at particular risk for urethral, oropharyngeal, and rectal infection, and that the presence of these infections has been implicated in the development of increased risk of HIV. The CDC recommends annual screening for all sexually active men who have sex with men, but more frequent screening is needed for those with multiple or anonymous sexual partners. And finally, it's worth mentioning that earlier this year, the recommendations to test extragenital infection by the CDC was suggested that NAT be used to detect in these locations. This is yet to be cleared by the FDA. So just a little background. I work as a nurse practitioner at Laser Surgery Care, where it's situated in Chelsea neighborhood of New York. I specialize in HPV-related disease and anal dysplasia. Our patients are almost exclusively men who have sex with men. They referred to our practice primarily from their PCP for evaluation. And as part of our practice, we routinely screen for all STIs, which includes three orifice testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia. When I began the position in 2011, we were using culture to detect infection of the oropharynx and the rectum. Urine testing has been DNA throughout, which most facilities use. However, in early 2012, we switched from culture to nucleic acid amplification when the labs that we used to process specimens had switched and approved use of NAT. Almost immediately, I saw a huge spike in cases where it went from one every couple months to several a week. Obviously, I thought this was extremely interesting, so I decided to begin a retrospective analysis looking at about 3,300 patient visits. In doing so, I divided a group of about 799 men who have sex with men, looking at five-month blocks of each group, one using culture to detect infection of the oropharynx and rectum, the other using NATs, or nucleic acid amplification. The two groups were compared to see any differences or things that we could draw from this. So just to take a look at the groups, there were no differences between the culture and NAT group. There was 384 in the culture group, 415 in the NAT group. In terms of age, they were all born male. Most were HIV negative. Most were single. There was a mix of monogamous and non-monogamous relationships. Also, there were no differences between the two groups in terms of sexual history. So most were having sex exclusively with men, some with both men and women. The reported unprotected receptive anal sex as well as unprotected insertive anal sex was similar, as well as oral sex with multiple partners and prior history of an STI. So what's significant actually here is the history of an STI included gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, herpes, and NGU. It didn't include HPV, and it's still really high. So our overall results, four patients in the culture group tested positive for gonorrhea or chlamydia of either the oropharynx or rectum, with 10 patients testing positive via urine. Exponential increase in the NAT group, 57 patients tested positive of the oropharynx and rectum, with six patients testing positive in the urine. Interesting, 15 patients in the NAT group tested positive at more than one site versus only one in the culture group. And five patients in the NAT group had co-infection, so gonorrhea and chlamydia at least one site versus none in the culture group. So if we compare these side by side with testing modality, oropharyngeal, you can see that none cultured out, and NATS exponential increase, 16 patients, so definitely statistically significant. In terms of rectal infection, only 2 cultured out for gonorrhea versus 11 that were detected via NATS. There were no statistical differences in urines, although one was positive for the culture group. When we look at chlamydia, almost exactly the same. No cultures for chlamydia tested positive of the oropharynx, with 14 testing positive via NATS. In terms of rectal infection, only 2 testing positive by cell culture and 33 by NATS, so a huge increase. The urines, again, were both positive but not significant difference. So in terms of symptoms, again, no cultures were positive for oropharyngeal chlamydia, but over 93% were asymptomatic, so in the NAD group. So it's significant. It's definitely remarkable. In terms of rectal infection, the 2 cultured gonorrhea and gonorrhea of the rectum were symptomatic, so they don't appear in here. Those who were positive in the NAT group, it's over 60% were asymptomatic. Again, there was only 1 urine in the culture group, and that patient had symptoms of dysuria. None tested positive in the NAT group. So looking again at chlamydia, so no patients tested positive in the oropharynx with culture. Those who were positive in with using NATS, 100% asymptomatic, which is quite remarkable. And again, with rectal infection, over 60% asymptomatic using NATS versus none in the culture group for rectal infection. And then both culture and NAT group had more than half asymptomatic infection, more in the NAT group. So we took a look at factors that affected positive tests. We tried to draw some parallels. So we looked at age, relationship status, HIV status, insertive and receptive anal sex, protected and unprotected sex, oral sex with multiple partners, prior history of an STI, and symptoms at the time of screening. And we were unable to draw any significance between these variables in testing positive for an STI. So in conclusion, there are a lot of data to support the use of NAT over culture. We've seen a lot of different studies. Also, there's a lot of published information on asymptomatic infection and high rates in men who have sex with men. But what makes this study particularly interesting is that we're a referral practice, so we're actually not seeing patients for STD screening specifically. In fact, a lot of patients present to our office having no idea they're going to be screened as part of their visit. There was a study out of California, out of San Francisco, that was a multi-center study that looked at asymptomatic infection. It also was looking at STI clinics. There was a large study published a couple years ago from Germany, a multi-center study also using STI clinics. But we're practicing HPV, so it really unveils that these patients need to be screened. I think they're at high risk, obviously, but they're kind of falling through the cracks, at least in New York. So there are definitely high rates of both infections. We saw a significant increase using NAT. 3 orifice testing greatly increases the likelihood of a patient testing positive for either gonorrhea or chlamydia. And the data really supports that people should be screened regardless of symptoms. And I wanted to include, there's a lot of information about oropharyngeal gonorrhea. A lot of people will attempt to culture at least gonorrhea of the throat, but little attention is paid to chlamydia of the oropharynx, and so it's something definitely we need to pay attention to. And then finally, given the low number of urine tests that were positive in our data, it's likely that we can speculate primary care is probably just screening via urine. We saw a couple presentations earlier this week on that fact. So it's something to really think about. I think, like I said, that this population needs 3 orifice screening with a sensitive test, and primary care should really pay closer attention to how they're testing and to get this kind of off the ground as a testing modality. So just a few acknowledgments, and that's it.